on the morning, Eric, on the morning of July 22nd, was it 1946? Again, we have the scenario where 15 to 20 of these so-called Afghan terrorists, but they were dressed as Arabs. That's the king, the key issue here. They entered what you said, the King David Hotel in Jerusalem, and they unloaded 225 kilograms of explosive hidden in milk churns. Here were the milkmen coming in with the big kabang. So this is highly important because this is the same type of scenario that we have at the 9/11, dressed as Arabs. Dressed as Arabs always. So they're always trying to blame the Arab nation rather than themselves. What a conniving bit of mockery to the Arab people. And this is the latest when we have this Sheikh Mohammed here, the one that's in the mainstream media being played up to a T. He's now in Guantanamo Bay, and he said he's the mastermind behind 9/11. How many times and how many years have they been twisting his arm? Or maybe a lot of those hairs that he's got on the back of his shoulders, front of his hairs. They always show this hairy-looking picture of him. Do you think this is the fellow that actually is the mastermind, or is this another double?
Well, actually, Christopher Bolin was just putting up an article that if you look at when this Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was arrested, the reports show that he was arrested with somebody they're referring to as mentally feeble, somebody with this name of Ahmed Abdul Qadas or something. So anyway, think about this. He's arrested at the same time this mentally feeble guy is arrested, and then the reports, the initial reports, there were some saying that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was killed in this raid.
That's right.
And so what do we have now? Take a look at this person now who's confessing to all this. He can't write English. He's not very good with English. And yet if you look at this, the other guy, the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, he was going to a university in America, in North Carolina. He was supposedly fluent in Arabic, English, and Urdu. See, you have two. You got a problem here. The guy who's confessing to all this can barely write English. Yet the other guy was going to American universities and, you know, getting a degree in mechanical engineering.
So,
and so what it looks like maybe what it may be is that they found this mentally retarded man who looks enough like him that they just are pretending, well, here's the guy, and he's confessing to everything. And you'll see this once again fits the pattern of how they find mentally feeble people who they use as patsies. This is a
pattern of patsies.
Yes, because you'll see this with so many of them. Tim McVeigh didn't seem to be quite smart enough to realize that he was being used in the Oklahoma City bombing. Lee Harvey Oswald didn't seem to quite get it. The snipers that were supposedly running through Washington, D.C. a couple years ago, they seem to have been also mentally ill people that were just set up to take the blame for the snipers. It's a pattern you'll see over and over. They look for people who can't think very well, and then they set them up to take the responsibility for the crime. And then everybody thinks, oh, the crime has been solved. We found the person responsible. And the person responsible is really the Israelis. Except that they now, you know, the Americans have been duped into thinking, oh, here's the man, he did it, and he's too mentally feeble to realize what's going on and defend himself. And it's the same with that other guy that they just put through a court trial in, what was it, Chicago or something, where he was supposedly one of the terrorists for 9/11. Remember that guy?
Yes.
And if you look at his behavior, again, he's displaying all sorts of symptoms of somebody whose mind isn't functioning properly.
This was, a fellow that was arrested in Chicago, but was in Toronto. Is that the one?
Yeah, he was arrested just before the attack, and they say he was the 20th hijacker. He was supposed to be part of the group, but they didn't. He never made it. They arrested him beforehand. Before the attack, and he But he was another that seems to be mentally ill. They look for this. And not only do they look for it for patsies, but if you listen to Kay Griggs, she's the wife of a Marine Corps colonel. She says the Zionists are also doing this for looking for military leaders, news reporters, politicians. They look for people with problems. And they look for people who can't think too well, or they're suffering from low self-esteem, or they've got a drug problem or gambling problem. They look for people with problems because those are the people that they can control and manipulate and blackmail. And they'll give them promotions in the military, she says. And see, then it allows them to control the military. By promoting these people with mental problems, they can then influence them once they get into a position. And you'll see this all over the politics. Look at the leadership of America, Canada, Europe. Look at these people. Are they your idea of intelligent, happy, functioning people? You know, seriously, look at them. This is not an insult. These people have problems. That's why they get the funding. That's why they get promotion by the media. And Barack Obama is currently being held up by the media as a potential presidential candidate. And he just pops out of nowhere, gets tremendous publicity by Zionists in the media. And you have to ask yourself, why him? And if you look at him, he's not really opposing the war. He doesn't expose 9/11. He won't talk about any Zionist crime or even bring up the issue of Zionism. He's one of their patsies or puppets or whatever you want to call them. You see this pattern over and over. They use other people for their dirty work. And they stay behind the scenes so that if you expose one of them, for example, if you catch Barack Obama lying, people think, oh, well, it's Barack Obama. You don't look behind him and realize, well, who's the one encouraging all these lies? Who's the one funding him? Who's the one promoting him? You see how they stay behind the scenes and they fool people into looking at the wrong people? And they're doing that with Bush, too.
Time and time again, and people don't seem to get the gist of it because they control the media.
That's right.
That's the main thing.
By controlling the media, they control how most people view the world. You see, and the media, if you want an example of how incredible the media is as far as shaping people's opinions, all you have to do is ask people about historical events. Everything they know comes from a couple textbooks or, in most cases, not even the textbooks, but the television, the movies, and some newspaper and magazine reports. For example, the Apollo moon landing. Almost everybody thinks people landed on the moon. And if you look closely into it, you realize there is no way people today could get to the moon. We don't have the technology. It was all faked with a lousy television camera. And here again is a pattern you'll see over and over. Look at the videos of Osama when he confesses to things, or the videos of Apollo moon landing, the pictures that the so-called terrorists are providing on their websites, they're all extremely low quality. And the reason is they're all fake. They can't provide high quality photos of any of this stuff. There's reports that Osama died in 2002, early 2002 or late 2001. So all of these videos of Osama are low quality because they have to be. They can't show you a good picture of him, or you'll realize that's not really him. And it's the same with the Apollo pictures. You can't.
You can almost see the pancake Hollywood makeup on that Osama bin Laden that they had in those last videos, hitting all the front pages, and people buy this.
Right. Well,
it's a fakery, but it's done with low budgets here.
It's not in
a sophisticated manner. You can see it. It's almost like digging into the populace, saying you're so dumbed down, you don't even understand it when it's right blatantly in your face.
That's right, but it's not a low-budget operation. They are making it look low-budget because they're trying to ruin the quality. They deliberately ruin the video quality so you can't take a good look. And even those beheading videos, you'll see the same thing. Every single time that the person is about to be beheaded, the camera does this strange movement as if he's just moving the camera around wildly. But and then after that then the head is off. You never actually see it happen. You never see any good pictures of who what the face looks like. You don't even know how much of that is real. You know, some of the beheading videos could have been faked. Or they could be somebody, or they could be somebody else. Well, you've got that problem too, but you also have the possibility that they're not who they claim to be, that it's all fake, or it's actually a dead body to begin with. I mean, you see, there's so much wrong here. You have to ask yourself, if the terrorists were capable of doing all this, how come they can't even afford even a home quality video camera does better than what they're providing? So it's all a sign that this is all set up to fool us. And that's how they've been getting away with this. It's through deception, by setting up other people. And it's sort of like what people did when they were little kids in grade school for fun. You know, as you're standing in line for lunch or something, somebody might reach around the person in front of them and poke the guy in front, and then quickly move his hand back, and then the guy thinks the person directly behind him poked him, rather than the guy two people behind. You know, remember, did you do that when you were in school? Did you ever see someone do that?
Not that I remember.
Well,
but
when I was in school, some of the kids would do that. They would, you know, they'd reach around somebody, poke the guy in front, and then the guy in front would think the guy behind them did it. And they'd all laugh because the guy would think the wrong person did it. That's what the Israelis are doing. They're setting off a bomb, and then quickly you're hiding in the bushes, and then you look around and you see an Arab. And you think, oh, the Arab just set the bomb off. Well, it wasn't the Arab. It was the Israelis. And nobody is catching this, even time after time. And even when they get caught, like they did in the King David Hotel, it doesn't seem to have any effect on people. Part of the reason is that most people don't even know what the King David Hotel bombing is. It's not in the history books. You don't see much about it. School children are not taught.
That's a very interesting book to write about, the pattern of deception through patsies. No one's done it yet, but to show the repeat performance. This is highly significant because we've been buying it year after year, decade after decade, century probably after century, because we're so dumbed down. Now, what I was going to ask about is the main thing is with the World Trade Centers, they collapsed because this was a very sophisticated plot to not only collect insurance, biggest scam ever, but this has now escalated into this main takeover. They wanted Iraq. Now they want Iran. Do you think it's going to get into that hot spot that this was the key issue right now to again, blame this this dumbed-down fellow by the name of Hamid here, Sheikh Mohammed, as perpetrating the 9/11, all for the takeover of these countries and the monetary system. Let's get into the monetary system. Is this the key issue of what they want in the fact of overtaking not only the resources of the country, but the monetary system? So this patsy, this Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, now coming forth before the world, probably is a very opportune time. Something is in the works. What do you think about the timing, Eric?
Well, I think they're trying to bring this person out in order to settle this whole 9/11 debate, because it's growing around the internet that, you know, people are wising up to this, but there are still millions of people that can't see through the deception, and so this is going to help settle the issue for them. They will think, well, this explains 9/11, but as far as what their ultimate goal seems to be just total takeover of the entire planet. They're not just trying to destroy Iraq or Iran, because remember, go back in history, go back to the world wars. They seem to have been the ones instigating and controlling both of the world wars. World War One was just like the King David Hotel bombing. It was just like 9/11, where they set up the assassination of somebody, and then all the nations go to war, and nobody can even explain why they're going to war. You know, if you look in history books at why World War One got started, nobody can explain it.
They might plot and plan to kick off here, I was going to say, to kill off the Prince Harry, because he's going into Iraq. Something is in the works here that would make a total outcry around the world, and I feel something is imminent quite soon, and the timing might be for April the 2nd, 2007. Why I think that is it's full moon day, but it's also the supposed crucifixion of Christ Day, and it's over the time of the Passover. I think it's timing, and this is why I think this stupid story of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed surfaced now. What do you think, Eric?
Well, it's possible, but see, I think they're running into trouble getting their war with Iran going. I think the U.S. military is resisting this. A lot of the military may not know what's going on, but I think they're starting to sense that there's something wrong with that Iraq war. And a lot of the people that are volunteering for the U.S. military are only doing it because they want a job or because they're trying to get out of jail or because their parents threw them out of the house. They're not trying. They don't want to fight. They don't want to kill Arabs. And if you look at the reports coming out of Iraq, you don't really see any war anywhere. The U.S. military is just sitting in their barracks. And the only deaths you get are when these mysterious bombs go off. And all of the evidence suggests that these mysterious bombs are coming from Israel. And the reason they're setting the bombs off is to keep the illusion alive that there is a war. Because if you take those mysterious bombs out, there's nothing, there's no war, there's no fighting. The Iraqi people are not interested in fighting. The American soldiers are not interested in fighting. If you take away the mysterious bombs and those mysterious snipers, there's nothing. And I think what's happening is that the U.S., the troops, most of them, there's a few that, you know, are still trying to kill Arabs. They think the Arabs attacked us on 9/11, but I think most of them would rather just watch television and play video games. And I think this is the reason they're having trouble getting a war with Iran going. They don't want to. I think they've been had. Well, I think they're running into trouble that the Americans, the one thing you can count on with Americans is that they will do nothing if given the opportunity. They'll watch TV and play games. And it's not like in World War One. You see, in World War One, people were ignorant and they had total control of the media. There was no internet. There were, you know, phones. There weren't even that many telephones back then. There was not much
communication has picked up, so people are sort of getting wise to it. But lackadaisical with the Americans. What's with them that they haven't picked up and done?
Well, the Americans have always been lazy. If you look at the country, it's already one third African slaves and the modern replacement, the Mexican. They don't want to work. Americans don't want to work. They never have. If you look at American history, they've never really wanted to, most of them. But the difference between today and World War One is in World War One, when they shot that person, I think it was the Austrian leader.
St. Leopold.
Yeah, when that was shot, you know, then all they have to do is send news reports out. Oh, we're being attacked. We've got to defend the country. The news reports go out. Everybody believes it. There weren't many telephones back then. They didn't have the television. They didn't have DVDs. People weren't burning their own DVDs and exposing it. People didn't know anything. They were just being told, oh, we're being attacked. Let's go to war. And so they would all rush off to war and fight with one another. And nobody ever noticed what was going on during World War One, which was the British troops were being sent down to Palestine. And nobody ever asked, what are they going to Palestine for? If somebody in Austria gets shot, what's the connection? You see, back then there wasn't a telephone. There wasn't any of this communication. Nobody was asking, what are they doing in Palestine? Who sent them down there? What's their role down there? Well, what their role was the Zionists tricked everybody in Europe into getting into this war, and then they tricked the British into going down to Palestine and chasing the Turks out of the area and getting control of Palestine so that they could start developing it as Israel. But you see, today, they couldn't do that today. If they tried it today, immediately, people would be saying, what are we going to Palestine for if this guy in Austria is shot? They'd be all over the internet. There'd be people calling each other on the telephone. People would be burning DVDs. And you see, they can't do it. The technology of today is taking away their control over us. They had almost total control of the media back then. They have almost none today. They have control of the television and other things, but they don't have control anymore. We can burn DVDs for almost nothing, almost no cost. We can print books at almost no cost. We can send email messages for almost nothing. So we can go behind their backs and immediately expose them. And I think they're running into this problem. They had no way of anticipating this, you know, decades ago. And it's going to bring them down is what it looks like.
So it looks like right now everything is disseminated right on the internet when people get wise to a story. They can quickly perceive something's amiss and then start emailing each other and then work out what's gone amiss.
Yeah. Well, it's not just the internet. It's also telephones and it's also DVDs and books. You see, like my book, it's a color book. My book was color pages. To do that in 1960 would have required amazing amount of handwork. You know, cutting photos out, pasting them on pages. Tremendous amount of work. To go back even farther in World War I and create a color book, you know how hard that would have been? Today, you can do it on a computer. You don't do anything. You do it all on a computer, and then you can send the files, PDF files, to the printer and have it printed. It's not just the internet. It's technology. It's the computer. It's the telephone system. There's too much. Even without the internet, they're going to be exposed because of DVDs, because of the telephone system, because of the computers. So even if they shut the internet down, it won't stop them. Because we could even go back to the old-fashioned bulletin board system of the 1980s, where instead of the internet, you just dial the phone and talk to somebody's computer directly and pass information that way. The technology is going to expose them, and there's no way they can stop it.
So the only way they would do is close down the entire technology and do a total blackout. That's maybe what they're gaming for. But will they go that far? Because the world doesn't work without the slave, the slave race keeping the coffers of the banks going. So what do you think is their thought plan from it? Do they really want to depopulate the planet?
Well,
what do you think their end game is?
Well, I don't know what I think their final goal is to get control of the planet, but what I think they're starting to realize is they can't do it anymore. It's too late. The technology, there's no way they can shut down technology. You can't get rid of it. You can't stop it. They're too small of a group. And the other countries are they're not going to allow something like that. You can't just shut down the phone system. You can't tell people to put away your computers. They would have to, how are you going to, think about it, how can a small group of people do this around the world? They could certainly do it to a few nations. They could certainly cause tremendous chaos. They're doing it in Iraq right now. They already destroyed Yugoslavia into Serbia and Bosnia. And you can do it to a certain number of nations, but what about the other countries? You see, they've got this problem that they are in Europe and America. Those are their primary nations. And they're destroying America right now, inadvertently a little bit, it seems. But once America goes, see, look at America's manufacturing. It's already disappearing. The new generation of American students have almost no skills and almost no desire to do anything. Employers all over the country can see this. They have trouble finding engineers, carpenters, technicians. America is disintegrating, and they've got a big problem that once America starts to really crumble, Israel's biggest supporter is gone. And without America, where is Israel? And without America, Europe is free. Germany is free. There's no one standing over Europe. You see, right now, Germany is still under America's thumb, and America is under Zionist pressure. So through America, the Zionists are keeping the Germans subdued, stopping them from exposing the Holocaust hoax, for example, stopping them from talking about World War I and World War II, stopping them from talking about Zionism. And they're also stopping the British and the other nations. But without America, who's going to stop them? They are then free to do what they want and talk about what they want. And so I think they're realizing they're in big trouble. They're getting exposed around the world. Everybody's wising up to Zionism. They're trying to get a bank. Right now, the Rothschilds are setting up banks in China. They're trying to get in there. They're also trying to bribe them with, you know, here's technology from America. Look, we're your best friends. Israel has been doing this for years, especially with the Democrats under Clinton. They were giving American technology to China. And this is how you, this is what, another of their techniques. They'll give you things and make you think, oh, they're our friends because look at all what they're doing for us. And they're trying to get the Chinese to let the Israelis and the Zionists get in there and get into their banking system and get into their politics and start influencing the nation. But I don't think they can do it now. I think that everybody around the world is getting wise to this.
Including the Russian Premier Vladimir Putin. He kicked them out big time. And he set up a new KGB system under a new name. But he's given them the old heave-ho. And that came out with the fiasco there regarding the company called Yukos. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it's hard to know exactly what they're doing, but you're right. Some of them, it's possible that he's trying to stop them. It's entirely possible that, but he may be running into trouble too, because they're all over Russia. They were supposedly behind the communist movement. They were supposedly, you know, their homeland is supposedly that area around the Caspian and Black Sea. So these people that we call Jews today, that is, most of them supposedly came from that area. They're not the original Jews of Palestine. Did you hear about that?
Yes, I did. And that's what they discern is the difference, or as David Icke discerns, the difference between the Palestinian, and then they call them the that Black Sea area, that whole Caspian area that they've started from, originated from, and there's a different name to them as well.
The Ashkenazi Jews in the, yeah.
That's it. You've got it. So that's highly important to bring out, because these are the controllers of the world. They've mass manipulated the thought patterns of all of the aristocracy, and once they put that money system in the go and had all these wars, they bankrupted all the countries, including France. Take a look. England had to pay off the Second World War, and now they're wanting to start a Third World War. This is interesting. Why they have this compounded interest, and who funds it, and who is actually backing both sides. It's very important that people discern what's going on regarding them, and it's all to do with the 13 banking corporate families. I see Rothschild being the head. So I also think that there's something going on in the fact that all of a sudden you're finding the body or the bones of Jesus of Nazareth, get that, of all times right now. So something is in the works. What do you make of their agenda here? Do you think it's all just fakery, propaganda that's been ongoing and people buy it?
Well, yeah, the Jesus bones, they claimed that were sitting around in the museum for a couple decades, and then they just decide to bring them out now. I'm sure that's just to create more chaos and confusion. That's what this is one of their techniques to keep people from wising up and to keep them from working together. They try to constantly create fights. It's like, imagine yourself around a pack of wild dogs, you know, and they're hungry and they're willing to eat you, but you have a supply of raw meat. What you would do is every once in a while throw a piece of meat out. Let them go after the meat to throw them away from you, right? You'll see the Zionists do the same thing. To keep people away from them, they keep throwing something out that gets everybody fighting or confused. For example, when Americans have presidential elections, every time you'll see them throw out this abortion issue. And that causes the Republicans all fight with each other over abortion. And they'll bring up the issue of cutting Social Security and welfare. And that gets all the Democrats fighting with each other. And meanwhile, nobody notices the political candidates are just Zionist puppets. They're so busy fighting over abortion and Social Security, they don't even notice what's going on. And then they do it again the next election and the next election. It's like throwing out something, you know, a piece of raw meat for the wild dogs. And they go after it. And that may be what this Jesus bones are. And here, just, you know, throw it out there. Let the Christians all fight with each other and argue with each other. Meanwhile, nobody notices the war is still going on in Iraq. We're wasting tremendous amounts of money. Our country's falling apart. The trains don't work. Economy's a mess. Most people's lives are pathetic. Their best friends are television sets and animals and money. Look at the country. Look at the world. It's a disaster. And so what do? They tell us, oh, here's, we found Jesus' bones. They've been sitting in our museum for 20 years. You can have them now. It looks like all they did is bring this out just to cause trouble. And then they probably faked it. It's probably not even anything close to Jesus' bones.
Exactly. So this bit of fakery showed up at the Royal Ontario Museum here in Toronto a while ago, and that was made into a fakery. So I perceive this new onslaught, another bit of fakery, but Hollywood is buying it up big time.
Well,
they even had some sort of documentary done with the fellow who made the movie Titanic.
Yeah, but Hollywood is them. Hollywood isn't buying it up. Hollywood is them. Hollywood is the Zionist crowd. And people like Steven Spielberg, he even made this statement that he will die for Israel. Israel is what they want. Israel and control of the world. And so, think about this now. He's an American, supposedly, and yet he's willing to die for Israel? He's a Hollywood producer. And if you'll see, there are some others that have even written articles. There was one Hollywood person. He was Jewish, and he made a remark. Yeah, Jews control Hollywood, so what? They boast about it. They are in control. They dominate. They decide who gets to be an actor, who gets to be a famous musician. They have control of it. And they decide what movies go out and which ones don't. They decide what the plots are going to be. They put this stuff out on their own. They're not falling for the deception. They are the deception. They are part of the criminal network. This is what people don't realize. They are the criminals. They are this Zionist network. That's why those World Trade Center buildings could get blown up right in front of people's faces. They are the media. The media helped it. The media, the Hollywood people, Steven Spielberg, all of these people that are worshipped in America, they are the criminals.
That keep on doing that false propaganda, and the Hollywood scene is all part of it. Interesting, I noticed that when Marlon Brando came on the Larry King show, he had to bring that up about who owns Hollywood, and I had to laugh when he knocked the glasses off old Larry and jested about that, because that was really interesting. He couldn't punch him in the nose, but he could knock his glasses off and jest. Next day, what happens? All of Hollywood is in an uproar yelling to Brando, you'll never work Brando in Hollywood again, that you brought up that the Hollywood cabal is running the show. So that was interesting that came out. And then also Mel Gibson, if you say anything against them, they really go to town on you. What do you think of this constant thoughts and shenanigans that they keep on perpetrating, Eric?
Well, that is another thing they'll do. You know,
criticize them.
Or expose them, or even just talking about them. All you have to do is something they don't like, and you're attacked. There was one correspondent, Diane Sawyer, I think it was. She interviewed the Iranian president, Ahmadinejad, whatever his name.
That's right. That's right.
And she was then attacked by some of the Jewish radio people, like the guy that calls himself Michael Savage. It's not his real name, but he goes by Michael Savage. And he's just viciously attacking her simply because she talked to him as if he was a human being. You see, you don't even have to criticize Israel or criticize Zionism to get them attacking you. And so what it shows you is that the only people who are going to make it in television, Hollywood, it's their people, the people they've approved of. You've got to be, you know, one of them or one of their puppets. And if you're not, then you're driven out. And look at the mysterious deaths. There are a lot of mysterious deaths that could be the people that just refuse to go along. There was that one. You see this with some of the musicians. You'll see it with actors, mysterious deaths going on. They could be the ones that just don't refuse to play along with them.
That's what I think. Now, interesting that this has been so long seated, but I noticed something. I think it was approximately a month ago. There was a scientist, and he came forth on the Coast to Coast show with Ian Punnett. I was all ears to listen to this because it was about the Larry Silverstein insurance scam. So I tuned in. Next thing I know, when the show is right in the heat of things, they knock it off purposely. No talking about it afterwards. So this is what they do, sabotage.
Well,
any type of information getting out there. Wonder if we could get our show going and see if they're going to knock it right off the internet.
Well,
what do you think, Eric? Do you think the American people might hear the show that we're talking about right now?
Well, they will be available to them. But in the case of the Art Bell show and that Coast to Coast, it depends on what they were talking about. They sometimes seem to do that just to give themselves credibility. Because, I think some people are even wising up to Art Bell. Art Bell will defend the official story on everything. And the whole Coast to Coast radio show is like that. They don't really tell the truth. And one way they can give themselves credibility is by cutting off something right in the middle and then saying, oh, wow, it must have been those feds. But you see, if somebody's going to cut you off, it won't be the Americans, it won't be the Canadians, it'll be the Zionists. So unless he was starting to really expose them, then it would not be, it would be a fake, you see?
Exactly.
You have to look at who it was that, you always have to realize they're tricking people constantly. And so when somebody on the Coast to Coast radio show, which is constantly lying to people, when they say they just got cut off, what you have to consider is it was another trick to fool you into thinking, oh, this guy must be telling the truth because he just got cut off. Well, you know, they never tell the truth on Coast to Coast anyway, so you got to be careful with them.
Do you think right now there might be a major plot, what I see really on the Coast to Coast, that they're bringing this alien agenda on? People are buying it hook, line, and sinker. A major asteroid's going to hit the world. We're going to have this great big flying saucer be hovering right over Washington, and we've got to now take that pill and go into the flying saucer to go into nether world. Maybe it's all a plot now for people to downsize, and they buy it with this religious fiasco that they keep on harping about. And this is why I see some of these alternate networks, you have to discern which is true.
Well,
when I saw yours and Christopher's, I thought, these two fellows are right on the ball. They see the fakery and they can discern between it. So, Eric, what do you think about the agenda with Coast to Coast and some of these alternative media?
Well, I think the alien thing is people have a hard time believing this, too, but I think what they've been trying for decades, a dream of theirs, it's only a dream, they can't do it yet, but I think the dream they've had for decades is to simulate aliens, to pretend that they are aliens, and then they could land on the planet. They have two things, there's two choices if they can be aliens. One is they could fake an attack by aliens, and then say, oh, we got to unite unite to fight back at these aliens and defend ourselves. Or they could come down as nice aliens and say, look, you humans are really messing up the world. We'll help you. Just follow our advice. And I think that's what they've been trying to do with and using NASA's budget and the Space Wars, the Star Wars budget. I think they've been trying to create something that will look realistic, like an alien spacecraft, and Hollywood is helping out by getting the idea in people's minds that they're already here on the planet, they're watching us. So I think what they're trying to do is create an alien spacecraft, an alien-looking people, and then take over the world that way. Because